limitations of Medicare.
No kidding. It's not working anywhere else. Why did we want that here?
That's my point exactly. So I really don't, I don't know.
We need a new president.
Well, that's the answer. Hey, good job, Amy. Nobody thought of that one.
But do you think, I mean, hasn't Congress pretty much been at a standstill no matter who takes over the House?
The less they do, the better, isn't it? Because everything they pass is a mess.
Yeah. Mm. Well, maybe you're right.
We wouldn't have that stupid Frank Dodd financial law.
Dodd-Frank,
sorry.
Well, and the Kelo decision. People better open up to that, though. They better realize what this is, what rights this is taking away from them.
That Kelo decision. By the way, did you know that those properties now sit there vacant and unused?
I know it.
They took them away from the homeowners who were living there and gave them to a developer who then went and decided he didn't want to do the project or went bankrupt or something. So now, these nice homes that were being lived in by people for generations are empty and sitting there.
What should they do with them?
Good job, government.
What should they do with them? Put them up for auction. What should they do?
They should never have been taken away from the homeowners.
Well,
it's too late for that.
They can't afford them. If you can't afford them.
No, they could afford them. They were living there just fine. The city stepped in and said, we want that property for our developer.
Oh, you're talking about those. Yeah, we got that going on right here in Reno. Yeah. People being wiped out of their homes.
That's what Phil meant when he said they took them from one private party and gave them to another private party, which is not the function of government.
Well, we better stay on it. Let's get the book. Democracy Denied.
Okay. Can you say socialism?
No.
Me either.
It's not in my vocabulary. Not in my vocabulary. All right, so JP, what is your big moment of common sense this week?
It's about the collapse of Western science. Does that seem like a deep subject?
Take it away.
What happened to science? There was a time when scientists were just about the most respected people in America. Men in white lab coats showed up in movies to serve one purpose. Whatever they declared, you knew it was the truth. You knew it was the truth because scientists delved strictly in facts and proof. That was the definition of science. Now you can't trust a scientist to tell you what time it is. If I really needed to know the time, I'd walk past the scientist and ask a lawyer. That's how bad it is. The scientific method and Christianity are the twin pillars of Western civilization. Make no mistake about it. And they're both under attack, oftentimes by the same people. To demonstrate how bad it is, I'm holding the latest issue of Discover magazine in my hands. I would have brought a Scientific American magazine, but that magazine has become so political I refuse to buy one. If you start reading the November issue of Discover, one of the first things you'll come across after the ads end and the magazine actually starts is a column on page 14 titled Saints and Sinners that mentions the damning fact that retracted studies in peer-reviewed scientific journals skyrocketed from 22 in 2001 to 339 in 2010, and 25% of last year's retractions were because of fraud. So it's not just me saying this. Scientists are getting caught red-handed publishing nonsense at unprecedented rates, and a lot of it is being done on purpose. On the very next page, page 15, there's an article titled The Bug with Built-in Sidekicks, which talks about the mealybug. The mealybug apparently lives with a small bacteria inside its cells, and the bacteria itself has an even smaller microbe living inside of it. This is a real-world version of the Russian nesting doll. Turns out none of these three life forms can live without the other two. That's very interesting, right? But after describing the situation, the so-called scientist who studies mealybugs said, "It's really amazing, and frankly, I have no idea how the whole thing works." Then he mentioned that he has no idea how the situation could have evolved either, but finishes the article by saying, it's a fascinating quirk of evolution. You see what I mean? Here's a guy who admits he doesn't know how these three critters work or how they could have evolved, but then states unequivocally that they did evolve. That's not science. It's some kind of twisted version of religious faith, and the whole field of biology is full of otherwise learned people making the same kind of blind faith judgment calls in favor of Darwinism. Regardless of whether they're right or wrong, their methodology is not scientific, and that's dangerous for the future of science. On page 24 of the magazine, there's a fascinating article about Edwards Air Force Base, where so much of our nation's aircraft experimentation has been done. The author took a tour of the base and wrote about it. You would think there would be little opportunity in an article about an Air Force base to piss me off. But then the author mentioned that he saw an F-22 Raptor, the far and away best tactical fighter on the planet, which our current president decided to stop making. We have less than 20 of them in our arsenal, and our pilots are therefore dependent upon F-16s designed in the 1960s. So I felt my blood pressure start to rise but continue to read. That's when I learned that our government has modified some of the F-22s we have to run on biofuel made from mustard plants. Are you kidding me? Is there really a scientist somewhere who thinks it will matter to the world's climate whether or not an F-22 protecting the world's freedom and liberty can fly on mustard? If so, somebody find that guy and take away his white coat. He's an idiot. 4 pages later, Discover takes on the issue of male sperm. Turns out that worldwide, sperm is deteriorating, partly because of a modern lack of exercise, but also because infertile men keep visiting fertility doctors who harvest whatever sperm the male have and artificially impregnate their wives, which of course passes on whatever genetic proclivity toward bad sperm the men had in the first place. Duh. Did we really need scientific research to tell us this? Didn't Mendel figure this stuff out 150 years ago working with peas? After that, Discover magazine has a long article about America's energy that, oh, so predictably suggests making oil out of algae and takes the politically correct but scientifically bogus position that electric cars are more energy efficient than gasoline cars, which an average high school science student could disprove in about 10 minutes. That is, if the student wasn't being educated by a Prius-driving teacher who believes in the same politically correct nonsense as the Discover editorial staff. Yeah, it's not the current crop of scientists who are messed up. It's not just them. We're raising flotillas of new ones, too. Science classes in high schools and colleges are more like political indoctrination classes. Darwinism has been proved, global warming is the consensus, secondhand smoke kills people, yada, yada, yada. If we don't step up to the plate and take science back from the left-wing activists who are using it to promote political agendas, we're going to see the whole edifice of Western civilization slowly collapse. That's just common sense.
Wow. Mustard, sperm, peas, it's all there, JP. Mustard is dangerous.
Can you believe they have F-22s running on stuff made from mustard plants?
Yeah.
What in the world?
What in the world?
Your government dollars at work.
Well, I know we've got plastic bottles made out of corn now. We got it all going on. Thank you for that. Another twisted moment of common sense from JP. Check him out at jpattitude.com. Well, the U.S. Treasury considering a new debt security, and government now wants HPV vaccinations for boys. We'll talk about those subjects and more when we come back. You're on KBZZ, Sparks Reno, an Americom broadcasting station. Your news is next, and then more with Broadview.
CBS News. I'm Sam Litzinger. A U.S. official confirms that 12 Americans have been killed in an attack on a NATO convoy in the Afghan capital. The suicide bomber rammed a vehicle into an armored personnel carrier as the convoy passed the American University. CBS News correspondent Mandy Clark in Kabul says a total of 17 people were killed, including Afghans and a Canadian.
Around lunchtime, a convoy that was traveling near the Afghan parliament, it was a U.S. convoy, was hit by a car bomb. Now, the Taliban has claimed responsibility for the attack, and they said the bomber was traveling with 1,500 pounds of explosives.
CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick.
Defense Secretary Leon Panetta was informed of the attack this morning, and the commander of NATO troops in Afghanistan, General John Allen, issued a statement condemning it and other attacks. In another incident, an Afghan in an army uniform killed 3 NATO soldiers and wounded several others. General Allen said he was both saddened and outraged by the attacks.
This was the deadliest attack on coalition forces in Afghanistan in more than 2 months. The snow has already set a record in New York City. More than an inch has fallen in Central Park, making this officially the snowiest October there since they began keeping records back in 1869. WCBS radio reporter Alex Silverman's trying to make his way through the suddenly snowy Bronx.
The trees are hanging so low, the limbs are hanging so low that in my little four-door sedan, some of them are almost scraping the top of my car.
The worst of it seems to be the power outages. The heavy, wet snow has cut the lights for more than 500,000 customers.
WBZ reporter Kim Tunnicliffe tells us how folks near Boston are coping.
People are gassing up and buying windshield washer fluid and ice scrapers here at the Shell station off 495. They don't want to get caught with an empty tank when the first nor'easter of the season hits. Buck Wing of Milford is filling up his antique car, then putting it into hibernation for the season.
I still got leaves to rake. Got to start my snowblower. Got to get gas for it. Got to put everything away that's outside.
Too early for you?
Oh, it's, yeah. As you get older, it gets too early every year, you know?
Some parts of the East Coast may see a foot or more of snow before it's all over. Something you may not think about when you're getting a flu shot, your weight could be a factor in how well it works.
As you get your flu vaccination, keep in mind your weight can impact its effectiveness. That's the word from University of North Carolina scientists. In a study, obese people had dramatic drops in their immune responses to the flu 11 months after vaccination compared to normal weight individuals. The researchers say the findings provide one more reason why obesity in America needs to be curbed, to limit the spread of viral infections and the costs associated with them.
Barry Bagnato. The bodies of seven members of an extended family from Ecuador who were killed in an Indiana highway crash will be returned to their home country for burial. They were killed Thursday night when a semi-trailer struck their minivan. This is CBS News.
It's